blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It's Friday. Hello, Friday. Hello, Friday. How are you? So far, very enjoyable, I must say. A lot of laughs.
Have a great Friday, you mother
More Maria. Give her to me. There's a huge fire. There are many huge fires going on down south, in case somehow you've missed this. On the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page, you found something on Instagram that is just, it's a terrible image. It's not even an image. It's not a still. It's a video of just how it's kind of unbelievable how windy it is. And it's just an incredible example of what they're dealing with down there. It's pinned at the top of the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. And it's mind blowing. I saw that and went, I had no idea.
Well, when you see these embers, they're just, it's 80 mile per hour winds blowing embers off a tree. And there's millions of them. And it does bring home that, because if you look at video overhead from Palisades, from the Palisades fire, I was just doing it actually. And there's six homes burned to the foundation and then one sitting there. And that's how that happens. The embers fly and where they land and catch,
that's what burns.
It's just really weird to imagine that it could happen when they're right next to each other, but that's how.
Right.
And then maybe, you know, the person with the hose did some good. Maybe.
There's a whole, I just put up a whole link of ways to help as well on the Facebook page. So,
great. And just really simply visit redcross.org or text the word Red Cross to 90999. That makes an automatic $10 donation, I think, through your phone carrier. So there are ways to help. And where did you go to the Facebook page or did you do it on radioalice.com?
It's on the Facebook page.
Okay, great. Perfect. We are going to start with, I'm going to be saying some things that are medically, like medical procedures. I'm not trying to, you know, use cute nicknames for lady parts and stuff that, you know, I'm going to tell you some stuff
just
right
did.
Now.
Lady parts.
Right.
Very cute.
That was just all summed up.
Okay.
So, because there are so many things that women think about and worry about and experience that are never talked about. And we've talked about them on the show. Like even the other day, Maddie goes, I'm 51 years old. I don't know how tampons work. I'm like, it seems impossible. So not only, and another thing about it is all of our stuff is you can't even see it without a mirror. Not really. You know, dude's stuff is all right out front. And it never gets talked about. I remember being in college.
I talk about it all the time, but go on.
I'm just saying that girls aren't sitting around necessarily talking about the state of the union down there, what's happening with them. They just feel so you don't have a lot of stuff to compare it to. And even if you watch porn, you are not necessarily seeing things that occur in real life, boys, as you know, and girls are not necessarily seeing they're not seeing something that looks like what they have. So when I was in college, my mom gave me this book called The Height Report, and it's spelled H-I-T-E, and it's by a woman by the name of Cher Height, S-H-E-R-E, Height. And it's a nationwide survey that she did, which was a million questionnaire to women of all ages, sexualities, races, whatever. She asked a million people, and then she put this book together, and she asked things like, what does your vagina smell like? Really? Listen, this is a medical thing. I'm telling you some important information here. People, and I read that book and went, oh my God, I'm normal. The relief that I felt about myself and my body after reading that was incredible. So you can feel very alone if there's no one in your life that's willing to talk about this stuff with you, because God is I don't know why it's so much crunchier to talk about than dude stuff.
Cher Height has passed.
Yes. There was actually a, so this was a book I think was written in the 70s, and I think there's even an updated version of it. And there was a documentary about her maybe a year or two ago, Vin, The Disappearance of Cher Height or something like that, where it was about her and how she writes this really groundbreaking book and she kind of got buried for it.
Oh.
So anyway, there's a lot of things we talk about that we don't talk about, but we think about, we worry about. Our own personal experiences. And so it can be a great experience to find out you're not alone in whatever you're going through. not just about, you know, the state of your vaginal union. So I was excited to see just this little excerpt from Brooke Shields' upcoming memoir. She wrote a book called The Rain Came Down or something like that about her experience with postpartum depression.
Oh.
And she, because she felt like, okay, I heard of this. I did not expect to experience it. And it happened to me. And I want to share my experience because
down
it was dark.
Down came the rain.
Down came the rain.
She's written a lot of books.
She has.
Okay.
So she has a book coming out. So this is, and I believe that they're all sort of based on her experience. It's not like she's going out and writing about some other topic. This is another memoir. And it's coming out Tuesday. It's called Brooke Shields Is Not Allowed to Get Old, Thoughts on Aging as a Woman. And one of the excerpts that I read was, I felt that it was, I'm stunned by it, so I'll read it to you.
Okay.
There are medical terms that I'm going to use here. Medical, legitimate medical surgeries. I'm not trying to make jokes about anything. I'm trying to openly talk about lady parts. 59-year-old Brooke Shields is releasing a memoir Tuesday called Brooke Shields Is Not Allowed to Get Old, Thoughts on Aging as a Woman. And in it, she reveals that in her 40s, she had a labia reduction because of discomfort, bleeding, and chafing that she dealt with since high school. Because those come in all sizes. And people don't talk about that. But that's not all she got. So here she is in her 40s. I assume she's had her kids, whatever. She's like, I'm done with this. I'm getting some of this taken off. She had a labia reduction surgery. At the post-op checkup, the surgeon said, I threw in a little twofer. He had performed a vaginal rejuvenation on her.
Oh, he gave her an extra procedure.
He gave her another procedure.
Okay.
It's a vaginal tightening procedure called a rejuvenation. Without her consent, she had not agreed to that. They had not discussed it, and he did that. She says, here's her quote, it felt like such an invasion, such a bizarre, like, rape of some kind. Nothing pointed toward this need to be tighter or smaller or firmer or younger, especially there. I'd be lying if I said I'm not embarrassed to share this very intimate information. But if we're to change the way we approach and talk about women's health, we need to bring up the uncomfortable but very real issues. And I say to you, Brooke Shields, way to be open about it. Incredible, incredible sharing. That's not oversharing. That's legitimate something that happened to you that people, I can imagine going, oh, I'm never talking about that. I'm never telling anybody about that.
So this guy thought he broed her.
Yeah. Hey, bro, I gave you a twofer. Gave you a little squishy.
Does she name this person?
She doesn't. Well, not in this excerpt that I read. Okay. The book's not out until Tuesday. But it's so, you know what's funny is I know someone who went in for an eye job and got more than she had wanted. And it was a surgeon who was a relative, like by marriage or something. So this was a person known to her. No, not down there.
Oh,
a facial surgeon.
Okay,
she got an eye job. She was getting an eye job.
I don't understand. But
go for the eyes and then go, oh, we're also going to give you a rejuve down in the basement.
Okay. All right.
But she got more than she wanted. And so she comes out, you know, you have these surgeries and you're effed up. Someone's cut you all up. And she's sitting there. It's after and she's just come to and he's like, hey, I threw in this and that.
We pinned your Dumbo ears back.
Whatever it was, you know, and she was like,
I had Dumbo ears? What?
I didn't even know I had Dumbo ears.
Oh, yeah, they were terrible.
No, he wound up giving her a couple other, giving her these things.
Oh, my. You
know, gratis. And it was, and I don't know if that happens all the time, but I mean, to think that I know that Brooke Shields got a little something extra. She goes in for this surgery where I'm sure she was already like embarrassed about it. Like, it's for a woman. We don't walk around talking about our labia. Is it labias or labia? Whatever. If we don't talk, see, who knows? Because we don't talk about it. We don't walk around talking about that stuff. Maddie doesn't even know how tampons work.
Yeah, he does. Yes, I mean, for the most part.
No, not really. I mean, I know where they go, but I don't understand the plastic part or any of that stuff.
No one's going to explain that to you right now. You can talk about that with your other girlfriends. I don't feel like it. Anyway.
That's pretty cool, though. Brooke Shields, though, in her new book.
Right. And I assume, because I actually love the title, Brooke Shields Is Not Allowed to Get Old, Thoughts on Aging as a Woman, and written by a woman in Hollywood, where the pressure is real. And it's I always think about Madonna. Like, she's had a ton done. It's great work. She's got the money to pay for all the work, but she gets nothing but flack for it, including for me. I'm like, oh my God, she's chopping herself up. But if she didn't, we'd be saying how old and tired she looked. Like, there is no winning.
Well,
and with social media, it makes it even more glaring.
I agree with you 100%, but I was just talking to you about how I don't know Nikki Glaser's arc. I don't know the career arc.
She's a comedian.
I don't know her from her early days.
Right.
But you told us the story, like someone made a joke about her.
I want to say it was Sybil Shepherd walked in on, she's facing away from Sybil Shepherd in a ladies' room at a roast, because she does a lot of these roasts. So Sybil Shepherd was going to, I think it might have been a Bruce Willis roast.
Okay.
Something. She walks in and Nikki's got a hot rig and she sees her from behind and she goes, oh, what is some supermodel here? And Nikki turns around and the joke that Sybil made, because it's a roast and you roast all the other roasters too. She said, I went, oh, it's a comedian. And that, Nikki Glaser says she was freaked out. She bummed her out and she went and got a bunch of stuff done.
Well, she got a great stuff done because I looked at the pictures after this most recent, what was that? The Golden Globes?
Yes.
After that, she's really pretty. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I wonder what. And I looked
what
and
she
went,
had done.
She had good surgery. She looks great. I mean, I don't know, you know, how that ages or what happens later, but right now she looks better than she ever has.
Well, and it's funny because I really question, like, why do I feel like I should say you shouldn't do that? I shouldn't say that. I should not say that that people shouldn't get plastic surgery. People should do whatever they want. But I do feel in my heart that, like, you're doing something that is, I don't know.
Here's why.
Let me tell you why.
I'm going to tell you something. I am a deeply flawed human being. I've made a million mistakes. I have real problems. It takes all my energy to get me through a day.
Yep.
So that's just my reality. And I often remind myself, you are in no place to sit in judgment of others. Zip it. With all the things that I've messed up and all the problems I've had, I try really hard to not sit in judgment of others.
Right.
And I will do that anyway.
I'm doing it
I'll
right now.
I'll find myself going, and I just told you guys the other day, there I was, snap judging your friend who stole a candy bar. And I'm like, I hate it. But I also told you, I used to steal stuff when I was a kid too. Well, she's not a kid, but you know. Either way, the point is, we are judgy.
Yes, we are.
It's our snap, like, to
reaction,
thought,
right.
And then for me, I have to remind myself, and hopefully I haven't already talked into a microphone, but I remind myself, come on, man. When you get perfect, then you can start.
Yeah. Although we do have a radio show to do, so,
yeah,
you know, we've got to throw some stuff in there. Yeah. Listen, I would like to end this segment, which I did actually break a sweat during. Because it's a lot of stuff that we don't talk about. Like, as women, we do not talk about this stuff. I never talked about getting myself or rubbing one out by myself until I was in college. And the girlfriend that I was like, hey, do you ever, you know, do this one thing? And she was like horrified that I'd brought it. Like, I want to not answer that. Like, it was so uncomfortable. But dudes are always like, because it's hanging right out front. So anyway, here's how I want to wrap this up. If you're a woman, hi, and you've never read Cher Height's The Height Report, it's a fascinating read. And I recommend it. And if you've got a 13-year-old or maybe a 15-year-old, because it's graphic. Like, these are the real answers from real women. Of course, they've updated it since the one I read, because I read it in the 80s and it was written in the 70s. So while ladies' parts are still the same, you know, I don't know what they've added to it, but they have updated it. But you can get an original copy. So Cher Height, The Height Report, HITE. I Googled it just the other day when I was looking at this story and considering whether or not I was going to do it. And it seems to be readily available. You can get a copy of it.
I think that's cool that they updated. One of the books that I, like, my other Bible, if you will. I don't really read the Bible, but there's the big book has been updated multiple times. It's for alcoholics.
Mm.
And they put modern stories into a book that was written in the 40s.
Right.
And it's good. Like, you should have something a little more relatable.
Especially as we're dealing with different things in our in our lives in general. Mm-hmm. And different
so
feelings about
stuff. I would suggest getting the new one, because it'll probably make more sense than some of the references where you go, Huh?
Yeah, in the big book, there are some stories and references. You're like, what?
Olden day stuff. Yeah. Where you go, okay, that's not relevant to me at all.
Well, I feel like if there's anything that I leave behind in this world, I want to have talked about stuff that maybe wasn't all that comfortable. I'm not going to write a book about it or anything, but I really don't. I try to not shy away from that stuff. And I've tried to talk about it with my girlfriends and even my son's friends and not, I mean, that, which sounds so weird, but like they have a lot of really close girlfriends that I've gotten close to because they've grown up with me as well. And so when there's questions, I try to be there for them too. We women need to talk to each other about this stuff. Okay. Next up, totally different story. Blake Lively and Justin. Thanks for bearing with me, by the way, because I felt like that was important to get out.
Hey, listen, I'm a girl dad.
You are a girl dad. Yes. Maybe I'll buy you a copy of that for someday. It's a crazy book. It's crazy. It's so good. You just go, oh my God, all this stuff. It's like direct questions about all the stuff.
You know that I've always been someone that will talk about anything and everything and ask lots of questions. And I do believe you need to have these things.
Maybe you should read this book. It's all about lady parts.
I would read it. I absolutely would. And I definitely wouldn't shy away from that. It's a little early now.
Definitely.
But around the corner.
Yep.
I would share it.
Coming up fast. It Ends With Us. That is a movie. It's a hit movie. Cost like $25,000 to make. It's made about $350 million so far. And Justin Baldoni was the director and star. And his co-star is Blake Lively. It's their movie.
$25 million, man.
What did I say?
$25,000.
Okay. $25 million is what I meant. They spent $25 million making that. And they've made $350 million.
That was a cheap movie.
Yeah. No, they just did it in the back room somewhere. Single camera. No editing. So Justin Baldoni she is saying that he was sexually inappropriate with her and gives all these examples of that. And there was a piece in the New York Times that was written based on stuff that her publicity machine had given to them. He is suing the New York Times and her saying, that's not true and you're a bully and here are my examples of it. And I don't, this on the Megyn Kelly show, which I actually think is like a podcast, like one of those video podcasts, because she got kicked off Fox and she went over to NBC for like a minute and then lost that job. So this is the story about him being forced with his entire family to go into a basement at a premiere for their movie. You remember this? This was one of the little details that had come out when we're trying to make heads or tails of this story, because it's very much like his publicity team says this, hers says this.
I thought the basement was like, figuratively speaking.
Like a basement, a room in the lower part.
Well, we got the audio.
Okay, all right, yeah. Yes. Oh. So he had left, I don't know, who's he complaining to? Like his agent or something?
Yeah, somebody in his
circle. So this is Justin Baldoni in his own voice message that he left at the time that this happened, talking about being shunned to the basement during the film's August premiere.
Could have been one of the most beautiful nights of my life, career-wise. I literally was sent to the basement with all my friends and family for over an hour. I wasn't allowed to be seen. She didn't want me anywhere near her or the rest of the cast. We start laughing because of the ridiculousness of this whole thing. And I realized, like, on a night that was supposed to be so materialistically joyful, I was in the basement with the people that I love the most, and we were all joyful and laughing because none of that matters. We're in this business because we're artists and we believe in what we do, and I believe that will follow each of us, and that truth will prevail and that light and love will win.
That's all. Apparently that's a voicemail. Doesn't really sound like a voicemail.
Sounds really good for a voicemail.
The very best voicemail I've ever heard. Like, somebody's voicemail machine is the best. So maybe he just said that into like a personal recorder.
Can I ask you a question? And I'm not trying. I know I can come off dense and naive and just straight up stupid sometimes. But why didn't he say no?
No idea. Maybe somebody there ushered him up. I know.
The film and one of the stars. And your co-star says, go to the basement. And you say, okay, and you take all your family with you?
It just can't have been her. There had to be some, like, she had gotten to somebody at that, whatever venue that was, and maybe not her, maybe her team, right? And just had people escort them. Okay, we're going to take you to this holding area and put them in the basement somehow. I have no idea. It does seem ridiculous to me. Like, I'm the guy, though. I'm the co-star of this movie that I directed. So strange.
It doesn't.
I know.
And I can see, like, if he were to say to me, well, I didn't want to fight in front of everyone on a night. Okay, then that makes
sense.
Maybe
that's it.
Maybe that's the possibility. But I also could see him saying, you don't get to tell me where I'm going to go stand for the movie I directed.
Right.
And starred in.
Right.
In fact, that's two jobs.
I did two. She only did one.
I don't know. I can understand there are times when you just go left not to fight with someone. But to be in the basement, it just sounds...
Like, I can't be in the basement anymore. I gotta... Come on, everyone. Let's go. There's a lot of us.
In fact, I would think the movie studio would be like, where the hell is Baldoni?
Right. I know. It's inexplicable. It truly is. And I don't know if it's an example of, you know, how her twisted mind has worked and, you know, her evil plan came to fruition. Or if it's just he's totally making this story up. But I have to say, the more I read about this, the more I really want to know what the F is going on with these people.
Well, you know, it does bring to mind, just as an aside, that often these people who do these projects aren't specifically hired by one company or another. And in some cases, they're not really part of a company the way we are. Like we have an HR. If I said something wrong, HR would call me in and, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, absolutely.
I don't think it works like that in Hollywood. And I remember, this was a long time ago, but I remember asking, I want to say it was Jim Carrey, but it was some celebrity that I asked, like, how does, and I'm not trying to ask your dollars and cents, but how does the pay work? Like, and I think it was Carrey said, I get a weekly check just like you do. It's a divvying of the dollar amount we agreed to, but while we're
based on
set,
what we thought was going to be the
while
work
we're
week.
Working, I'm getting a regular paycheck like you would. And I thought, oh.
That's interesting because I wonder, I'm sure he's a corporation. So, okay, he gets paid like that, but they're not taking it. He's worrying about his own tax situation.
It's weird, yes.
I wonder, though, if you are not considered an employee of the production studio, because that's the only place that an HR thing could be, right? So if you're a contract worker and you've agreed to certain things in the contract, and maybe now, you don't have anywhere to turn.
And now so many projects are also being made and then sold after the fact.
Right. Or shelved.
Right. So I it's just an interesting world where your job is to make out with this lady.
Right.
Make out with her.
Do it.
Make it hot and believable.
Because we're filming it.
And yet, there's no real HR department. And now they've got, what do they call them? People on site.
On set sex consultants or something.
And I think that's the closest you're going to get to making sure that.
To someone who's like, that's inappropriate. And who hired that person? The other sexually inappropriate person?
I could see where dudes might feel. And of course, there's also the dudes who would go, I don't need that. I'm going to do this chick.
I'll actually do it.
Who might say, you know what? I do want that because I don't want after the fact accusations hurled at me.
I don't need no trouble.
Right.
Right. I want everyone to sign off on this and that consent was given for everything. I see the time. Okay. All right, Maddie, you're doing your job as a producer. Happy Friday.
I'm going to tell you how to be less irritable after these.
Oh, that's going to help.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit. Yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Thank you so much for being here with us today and happy Friday and all the good stuff. Listen to our show live every day and get our full show podcast. It's all on the free Odyssey app.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Fremont Bank invests a percentage of its earnings into strengthening the lives of our Bay Area residents through its community support. Today is a great day to go to FremontBank.com.
.com.
Right now, out the window, we're broadcasting from downtown San Francisco, Studio 9, and it is blue sky, sunshine.
Yeah. We're having a very different day
than our friends down south.
Yep. Specifically our friend Eddie.
Oh, you know, if you've listened to this show for a while, then you know Eddie Ift. He's a great comedian. He comes through here every now and then, and he's someone that we obviously really like. He lives down south and has had more than one
scare
fire-wise. And he just sent us a video where the fire is way too close for comfort. But the part that really got me yesterday, because I've been following him on Instagram, Eddie Ift.
I-F-F-T.
Mm-hmm. He was talking about how, you know, we're probably going to have to evacuate. Then they did have to evacuate. Now we're, the whole family's in a new place. And I'm following this saga. And then he has to go to work. He has to hit the, one of the videos is, I have to get on a plane now and go to Canada and do shows. And nothing, you know, it's just that grown-up stuff where you go,
I booked these shows. I cannot cancel these shows. I
should
need to feed my family.
Should you have to go to work when your house is on fire? Or close to being on fire? You shouldn't.
Yes.
Somebody's got to pay for things around here.
We're going to need to pay for these hotel rooms we're in since we're not. Did he take the family with him?
No, I don't think so. Based on what, he didn't show me that.
His family lives around there, his wife's family.
I don't know, but I just,
I know.
You're just going to unplug and.
And how do you go be a comedian when the whole time you're like, my wife and kids are at a hotel sheltering from our house that might burn down?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm getting at. You know what? I always thought this too. When someone gets pregnant, it seems like, well, this has happened. This is how this is how Earth got overpopulated. It happens all the time. What's the big deal?
Right.
But then when you see a woman who's with child in the ninth month and they need help getting up and like
everything.
You shouldn't have to be anywhere near, you shouldn't have to go anywhere or do anything. And yet many are like, I'm taking my time after the kid gets here. So I'm going to suffer.
Right. Because I'm going to need all those minutes, too.
There should be a lot more, like, paid time off in this world, is all I'm trying to say. Like,
I like where you're going with this.
Golly. I got a human about to walk out of me.
Eddie Ift has sent us another video. He did earlier today that we were talking about. And you said, I can't believe you had to work. Seems like too much to ask. He says, well, the show must go on. My firefighting skills are limited to screaming, fire! Which I thought was one of his better jokes.
Yeah.
I love Eddie.
Pretty in good humor, despite the fact.
Right. He's somehow, right. Well, he still has to work. So he's got to keep that thing sharp.
If you would like to donate for victims of the LA fire, visit redcross.org or text the word Red Cross to 90999. And that makes a $10 donation right there. I guess with your phone carrier. So text Red Cross to 90999. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Three nines. Right.
Four.
Doesn't matter.
There's a zero.
Yeah. A third of Americans are trying to get their home organized and start out the year clutter free. It is a thing.
One third.
Clutter is a thing.
Oh my God, it is.
And if you have kids and you're all in a family in a house, it piles up daily.
You can't believe how much junk is in your house.
And often it's just the shoes. It is the shoes. And I'm a culprit. There's no question that I've got a couple flip-flops and a couple slip-ons.
Are you guys a shoes-off house?
Yep.
Yeah, we are too. So when you come in the front door and you drop your shoes, and now you're by the back door and you need another pair to go out the back, there's a pile there. There's a pile by the front door. There's a pile by the side door.
There's your clutter.
Just piles.
There's the start of the clutter. And then kids, forget it. Toys.
And then you think, oh, I'll just get a little shoe rack and we'll put that right by the door and people can put their, and no, they won't. And they're going to drop their other crap on top of that. And it's just going to become like sort of just a bigger pile.
The war on clutter is expected to last about 38 days from the 1st of January. So each year, Americans decide they've had it and they're going to not let this stuff pile
it.
And then usually 38 days later, sometime in February, they go, I also can't keep this up.
Right.
This war against the constant piles.
So then they take a couple months off and do some spring cleaning. And then that lasts fewer days. And then
I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you all out. Just do the best you can.
Yeah.
That's all.
Get through the day.
Whatever you can do. That's it.
Right. feed the kids, pay the bills, worry about the other stuff later.
Life can be hard.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
At least you're not trying to go do comedy while your house is threatened by flame. It's close. The fire is close to his house. It's so close.
He's like, this is the amount of space between me and my neighborhood, and the ridge of it is on fire. I actually can't believe he's standing there. I'd be like, run.
Mm-hmm.
Run.
How do you take your coffee?
Just a little bit of whole milk, please.
Oh.
How do you take yours? Black.
I'm a black man.
I knew you're a black man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Maddie? I'm going to guess. I'm going to say Maddie wants sugar. As a former, as an alcoholic, I'm sure he's like, give me the sugar.
Yeah, put a Splenda or a Stevia in every
fake sugar. Good. Yeah, that's good.
Fake sugar.
Great.
You do?
Yeah.
A whole pack.
You guys
of it?
See how many cups of coffee I go out and get.
I don't count your coffee. I have no idea what you consume for coffee.
At least one an hour.
Oh.
And do you drink some at home before you leave?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. You get in here and make yourself a coffee.
That's the first thing I do when I walk in the door here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't want one on the drive in or one while you're showering and, you know, doing your hair?
I don't shower. I shower in the evenings and my morning is very tight with the dogs and everything else. And I just, just skip out. And
yeah. Do you like the coffee here?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, it is nice. I hate the machine. I've named her Sabrina Carpenter because it makes espresso. And so I yell,
Sabrina!
Damn you, Sabrina!
Yeah.
Your drip tray's not working.
What, so you just put a Splenda into black coffee?
No, I'll also put a little, usually almond milk.
Are there creamer packs over there, or do you bring your own almond milk?
No, I don't bring. I should bring my own almond milk.
Well, you just steal from somebody's in the fridge?
No. I use the little creamers here.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't
know
that.
Do you continue to drink coffee later into the day?
On a Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
Not on weekdays, no.
Okay.
I used to have a cup of iced coffee every day at like 3:30.
Oh, yeah. And then I realized, wow, I never sleep. That's so weird.
Yeah, you were in particular. I remember you saying, "Oh, I
drink it all day.
I take the whole pot and then pour it in and make the iced coffee." And what are you doing?
Turns out I was screwing up my sleep. Well, I just slept better back then too. I think maybe I stopped doing that when the change started coming on. Because now I'm like, I really don't drink it after we're done here. If I don't finish this mug, I probably won't finish it. And then, you know, I wouldn't like finish it at home. But on a Friday, I will save the pot that I left on the counter this morning because it'll already be cool. And I'll make iced coffees after I hopefully get up from a nap today.
A new study found drinking coffee in the morning can help you live longer. But if you keep drinking it all day, scientists tracked people's health for 10 years and split them into three categories. People who only drank coffee in the morning, people who drank it all day, and people who didn't drink it at all. Morning coffee drinkers had 16% lower risk of dying for any reason.
Well, it's because they're more alert, you know, we're just like a little bit more woken up than you are. You're not drinking coffee, you're fumbling around. Come on.
A 31% lower risk of dying from heart disease compared to non-coffee drinkers.
Wow.
Almost a third.
Does Billy drink coffee?
My friend Billy?
Your friend Billy with the heart attack guy.
He does, yeah. I think some things are genetic.
Hereditary,
and I
right.
think he had...
I think so, too.
I think he had that.
He was
that.
So slim and in such good shape.
My friend Billy had a heart attack this year, or maybe it was last year, but still
was, yeah.
recently. And he's a guy who's, if anything, he's underweight.
Right. Well, and he was out in the ocean, and then he's like, wow, there's something going on. And then he carries his surfboard to his bike, or he bikes back to his house, gets in the car. Wow, by the way, he's having a widowmaker through this whole thing. He gets to his house, drives to the urgent care, and they're like, nah, dude, you got to get in. We're getting you an ambulance right now. You got to go to the hospital. He's like, no, I can't afford that. I'm going to drive myself. So I don't know when this heart attack starts, but it sounds like 2 hours went by before they put him in the emergency room.
When he got to the ER, they checked him in, like for the night.
Yeah.
They went, you're not
leaving. You are staying.
Yikes.
You're having a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think that was...
That was so crazy.
He's in good shape. He's a guy who raised his kids already, and now as he's my age, mm-hmm. we grew up together, his whole life is surrounded by... He surfs every morning, and then he goes to work in the late afternoon and works into the evening, and then surfs every morning, like every day. That's his life.
William.
And had a heart attack. Doesn't make sense. Except,
like, really, and it lives a healthy life. Like, he's a sober guy. And
doesn't smoke. Doesn't drink. Anyway, morning coffee drinkers had 16% lower risk of dying for any reason, 31% lower risk of dying from heart disease compared to the non-coffee group. The benefits disappeared for people who drank coffee all day.
Disappeared. You went back to might as well not drink coffee at all.
So having your last cup before noon could save your life.
Oh boy.
Now, I remember a guy, and Maddie and I belonged to the same group, but there was one of these guys in my group who he drank coffee into the nighttime from morning all through the day and into the night. And he was an older guy too. Mm. So I don't know if it just didn't affect him or if he just, a lot of people who recover find themselves saying, hey, I had to quit that. The last thing I'm quitting is my ciggies or my coffee, or whatever else.
I quit that one thing.
Yep.
Please don't take this from me as well.
But God, I get so jittery from coffee that I have to pull off.
I know you do actually have, it's surprising too, because I mean, this job, we drink coffee every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually always surprised to hear you say that you get tweaky from it.
Mm.
I feel like it doesn't affect, I will say, if I don't have it, I'm not normal. I'm dull normal for sure. And I am a bitch and I've got a headache. And so I need my coffee, but I don't feel like it makes me jittery, really.
Really?
Do I seem jittery?
I don't know, but
you're
like
a jittery person, though. You're like pretty tightly strung.
I actually, my drug of choice is a downer. I don't want like the things that you used to love. You know that stuff you smell?
Yeah.
I know. I did it. I can't say I never did it, but I only did it when I was bleep faced on the other stuff, booze.
Yes.
So I would be like, well, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
But I would never want to do like. To be all, no thanks.
Grinding your teeth.
Oh, you love it. Look at you smile.
I really used to enjoy it. Until it became something that I needed just to feel somewhat normal. I was like, this seems problematic. I'm in an alley buying off somebody.
That's the day you stop, though.
Yeah. Well, I just really thought, is this what Ellie and Gentry's daughter does? Who are you, Sarah? Come on. Knock it off. That's what I thought.
I remember I quit and I moved to LA and I moved from here to LA the first time and I quit.
Are we talking about cocaine now or drinking?
Yeah, the smelly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back and I tell my friends, hey guys, listen, I'm not doing that anymore. So let's not pull it on. They're like, dude, we never bought it or pulled it out. That was all you.
Yeah.
When you left, we stopped.
Yeah. As long as you don't pull it out, there's no chance where we pull it out.
Yeah.
Hard to say no to, but you were the guy with the problem with it.
Yeah.
People who use social media most of the day are more irritable. A new study found people are more significantly more likely to feel irritable, angry, and annoyed the more they consume social media. I believe that.
Chalk that up to?
I think there's a bunch of stuff in play when you use social media, and it goes straight to one of the things that Heumann used to say is, and I'm not saying this to bag on him, but he was very frank about it. Why would you use social media if you're not bragging about your life?
Mm.
Why would you put, you know, like that's what he said and he meant it.
And continues to this day to brag about his life.
But that's, you know.
And he was the first guy who knew about like what hashtags were, like all these taggings. And I thought, what's all this junk down the bottom of your thing? I don't understand.
It may appear that way. I'm not sure. But I am never posting things to be a bragger. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to share my life with you. And it might be me and my kids hanging out. But I'm never like, guess what I got to do? Losers.
You're a loser.
Like, I just never think like that.
Let me shove something down your throat.
I do think a lot of people get that, like, FOMO.
Yeah.
There they are, seeing someone on a boat in the middle of nowhere on a Tuesday afternoon. Where did I go wrong? Right.
Why is my life sitting in my office chair looking at Instagram? This is ridiculous.
And then that feed that always refreshes. And, you know, it was Michael Franti, and I can only paraphrase it. But he'd written something on Instagram like, hey, Instagram, how about more of my friends and the people I follow and less suggestions. And so it was just one of those open letters right. that probably no one at Instagram
because
saw.
Because it did used to be in order and you could catch up with it. You'd see what the people you follow had put up and you'd reach the end of it. And okay, there was an ad or two in there. But now I'm like, I don't know what I'm even looking at anymore. I'm not interested.
Anyway, if you find yourself feeling, let me find the list of stuff, irritable, angry, annoyed, it might be because you're spending too much time on social media. And that's not just Instagram, TikTok, X, Facebook, Instagram, yes. all of the above
yep.
count as, and especially if you're on all of them.
Well, people get so riled up on there. Like even just, you can tell that they're irritated people because of the things that they write on there. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Don't go on this. You'll be all mad. And you get on there, you see something that makes you mad. Now you're mad. Now you're in a Twitter war. Like, what?
I like to see what my friends are up to. And then I want to get off it.
Right.
That's what I'm into.
But as Michael Franti pointed out, you're not always seeing
no,
that. And they prioritize certain things. Like, I don't know if they tamp some people's feeds down and put other. Like, I just want to see the people I follow. That's why I follow them. Otherwise, I'm just following the world. Stop it with this. Please stop selling me shoes because I love the shoes I've gotten on there.
Our text number is 800-400-3697-925 says, I'm with Vinny. I like downers better. Who would want to be intentionally hyper? LOL. Mm. And I'm already hyper. That's part of it too.
Plus it helped me stay up all night long.
Why would you want that?
Because I'm rocking out, baby. I don't want to get tired. And you know what was really bad for me?
Rocking out, baby.
Rocking out, baby. Rock and roll. Whatever. No, never mind. I'm done talking about that because I don't want to glorify it at all. I loved it. I don't want you to love it too. It's bad. Plus, now it seems so dangerous.
Oh, because of fentanyl.
Because of this fentanyl thing.
Well, there was always talk. Like I said, I didn't really like it, but it was around when I was in high school. And certainly there was a period, I think I want to say it was my senior year, where a lot of people were getting that stuff. And locking themselves in bathrooms at parties where we would all be like, I guess we're just going to go in the yard?
Mm. You got a roll of paper towels? Gotta go.
Sheesh. But there was always talk of it's cut with something.
Right.
Laxative.
Baby laxatives. Remember you'd hear that.
Baby aspirin was another.
Oh, yeah, that's true too. Right.
I don't know.
All kinds of stuff.
There's always some fear or.
Maybe it's just straight laxatives and baby aspirin. Oh, it sounds like it's a pharmacopoeia of. Delight.
I can see why he really liked it.
It's great.
Anyway, what's coming up in the trash?
A celebrity survivor contestant?
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up!
Wake up!
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice
at 97.3.